RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. Well, Josh, welcome to our seventh summer special here. That's not really too crazy, I guess, because we do multiple ones each summer. It's not like it's been 7 years or anything. But
no, but it's still... just to think that we've done seven of just these specials.
Yeah, yeah. So we try to do about three specials each in between each season. So this month here in July, we have got quite a bit of stuff to cover. We've gotten a lot of information. We kind of timed it so we knew that there was going to be some reveals at San Diego Comic-Con, so we got some stuff to talk about there. We know when the next season starts. We can tell you a little bit about that and some of the new cast members. And we're going to start a little, what do you want to call it, like a retrospective, I guess, of season three. I don't think we're going to have time to cover it all in this episode, but we'll split the time between, let's say, like this episode and next episode, try to get us up to speed as we roll into season four then.
Yeah, just kind of put it all together and shake it up so we can see what season three was all about. Kind of refresh our memories and get us prepared, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing because it feels like we've been off for such a long time, or at least, you know, episodes haven't been on for a while. And that is true. All the knowledge seems to go right out of my head. I'm like... I was looking over some of these notes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That happened this season. That was a long time ago.
Well, so I tell you what, episodes is a lot. I can't remember a summer where so much news and information and cool stuff to speculate in just the entertainment world, you know, and especially in the comic book genre as 2015. And because all that... You know, the other stuff that I've had been collecting so far this year, it's kind of got pushed to the back. So I just need to dig through and refresh everything that I experienced in the first half of this awesome year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the new comic book stuff is, you know, that we've been getting over the past 4 weeks here. You know, we've got Ant-Man in the theaters now. There's been trailers for Superman versus Batman, Fantastic Four, Suicide Squad, more information on the upcoming Jessica Jones show, the Daredevil season 2 show on Netflix. So
I hear there's a Deadpool trailer out there, but I'm not saying if I've seen it or not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not saying if I've seen that or not either. So did you see Ant-Man?
I have not yet seen Ant-Man. I want to make sure I see it in the right way. You know, I don't want to rush through it. It's been a very busy week, so I have plans this weekend to make it to Ant-Man.
I think it'd be better on your phone. You know, it's kind of a small movie. You can just watch it on your phone.
That's about the only movie I think that would be maybe appropriate. So actually, it'd be okay.
And they've, like I said, they've got a trailer out there for the Suicide Squad. It's not exactly the same as what we've seen on Arrow, but it looks interesting, especially the Amanda Waller piece. It looks like General Eiling might be in the movie as well. There is some sort of military guy that kind of looks a little bit like Clancy Brown. I thought it might have been him for a moment.
Is it not? Because I had the same thought.
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
I have not confirmed that, but I don't recall hearing that Clancy, you know, when Clancy Brown gets cast in different movies and stuff like that, I'm, you know, like, okay, that's cool. You know, kind of just keep an ear out for him and what he's doing. And I don't recall him in that.
I have to make a small confession about the Suicide Squad trailer.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, going through, I was going through the season three episodes and just refreshing my memory for Arrow. As I saw the Suicide trailer, the Suicide Squad trailer that they showed at San Diego Comic-Con, I was a little jaded towards it because of Arrow. I was almost defensive against our little Suicide Squad that we had. Mm-hmm. So, not that it won't be good. That's not typical area comics that are my favorite, but I will definitely still be seeing that. And it does look like they've crammed a lot of comic characters in it. So,
yeah, that concerns me, especially with the DC film properties, which are not proven yet. Yeah, it seems like you've got a lot of characters crammed into Superman v. Batman or Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Suicide Squad. They're both heavy with characters, and they're already instituting crossover and stuff like that. So, it's probably just a matter of time before Green Arrow shows up, in the background of one of these, and I'm wondering how we'll feel about that when that happens.
Yeah, because I've thought about that.
You know, dollars to Arrowheads, it won't be Stephen Amell that would be cast in that role. They seem to be keeping the TV and the film pieces separate, but who knows? Well, why don't we get on with what we've got here? Again, there's a lot of information about Arrow specifically. So do you want to go ahead and give everybody the rundown on, we'll start the rundown here in our news section. How about that?
Well, the most important thing I think at the top of the list is that we now know the date of the season 4 premiere. They released that a little while back. It's going to premiere October 7th, 2015, which I think we had speculated on. That was the date I think that we had guessed. But what we didn't know was that the first episode is titled Green Arrow.
See, now, I was pretty sure it was Papermate because Mark Guggenheim put out that initial script cover, but he laid a pen down over the title, and it said Papermate.
It was misdirection, man, misdirection. He fooled us all.
I know. I totally thought that he was going one way. But Green Arrow, season 4, that is that's confusing. Why is the show still called Arrow then?
Now, little speculation right off the top of the show. He's gone with Felicity. You know, we've heard some things about what they're doing. I'm guessing he's gotten into gardening.
I know what they're doing.
He's
apart from that, he's
gotten into some gardening, and he's utilizing his agricultural skills, and that's guessing they're getting the title.
No, you're going. It's complete the wrong way. No. He's off with Felicity, but he knows that she really still is digging Barry Allen. Okay, because they had gone out for a little bit, and he's a little jealous about that. And he just but what's he going to do? I mean, the guy's the Flash. It's difficult for him. So he has to deal with those feelings and the, kind of the resentment and anger that he feels and the jealousy and everything.
Envy.
Enviousness.
Yes. Well, apart from that, I'm actually very excited about the title of this. I think it's, and I think we talked about it toward the end of the season, especially at the finale. They are taking it in a wildly different direction. Not wildly, I guess, just a dramatically different direction, which I think they had no choice. They wrote them into that corner, and now they're going to have to get out of it.
Well, Stephen Amell teased on Facebook or Twitter a picture of Oliver and Felicity in a frame. So it's a picture of a photo in a frame, and the photo is Oliver and Felicity like on their vacation, in front of a lake and a mountain or something like that, having a good time, just sort of, one of those pictures, not really a selfie, I guess, but, a nice picture of a couple that they would.
A little portrait of a couple. Desk. Yes.
So
we know as soon as people get happy.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we'll see how it all works out. I'm sure within the first 5-10 minutes, all heck will be breaking loose in Starling City. They're going to elect a new mayor. New mayor will get shot, and
necessarily. They could get blown up, burned, crushed. There's lots of things that could happen to the mayor of Starling City.
Yeah, that is very, very true. But if you want to catch up on season three, good news, you can actually do it before the season four premiere. Now, granted, you've only got about 2 weeks to do it, which is not that bad. So if you're not watching any of the reruns that CW is doing right now, and you don't have the episode saved on your DVR, and you haven't bought them digitally through Amazon or iTunes or anything like that, DVD and Blu-ray will be available on September 22nd. That is also same day and date that the Flash season one is going to be out. CW's releasing their DVDs that week. Gotham may be – oh, no, Gotham is – Gotham's what, CBS? Some Fox, I guess.
Fox, so, I think. Gotham was Fox. So,
I know that at Comic-Con, DC was pushing their – their comic book properties across all the networks. I don't know if all the DVDs will be out at the same time. So, but keep your eye out for that. But anyway, September 22nd, DVD $39.99 at Amazon, Blu-ray $44.96. You can get them on Instant Video right now for $2 to $3 an episode. So around $40 or $50 for the whole season. And if you have stayed away from getting seasons one or two on DVD or Blu-ray, those are also available now for the ridiculously low price of $17 for DVD and $25 to $29 on Blu-ray.
Right, and that's on Amazon too. I didn't put that. So, okay. And the Instant Video, the $40 is for standard definition and $50 is for high definition. So you can
is that the difference? Oh, okay, yeah. I got it. So, well, and also out there, who wants to get a Starling City Police badge? I know, of course, everybody does. Yep.
I do.
You get a badge. So it's part of DC Collectibles' new line of props. They've got.
I thought they were just running out of police in Starling City.
They are doing that, too. It's a nice leather, a leather badge with the Starling Metro Police shield on the front. It comes with a chain based on the Quentin Lance prop. The actual prop that Paul Blackthorne's used on the show. It's going to be out in December of this year. It'll retail for around $30, and that should be pretty cool. It's if it's anything like some of the other DC collectible props, it's going to be really neat. They've done a flash ring, like the reverse flash wares. And you know, I mean, $30 for a prop replica of this is not too bad. I seem to recall looking at the badge replicas for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and those things were—I mean, they were super limited. It was going left for like I think $100 or something like that. So $30 is not too bad. Might have to pick one of those up for Christmas.
For something like that. That seems about typical, I think. And that's a interesting replica for this show, an interesting prop that they would sell. I'm not sure that would have been my first choice, but I was trying to think of what might be cool. Any wants and desires for you for prop replicas from this show? What would be cool?
Like a replica. Well, I mean, because obviously, I don't think they really could do like a replica of his bow or something like that. Doing any of his arrows really are kind of dangerous. The arrowhead that he gives Thea would be an interesting choice.
The one
that he had from the island, the rock or bone arrowhead that he's got. Maybe the Alpha or the Omega, a little vial of Alpha Omega.
Authentic. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I was thinking about arrowheads too, or maybe some of the. Didn't he have like a medallion or something after he became Al-Sahim or something?
Or you could have that thing that Malcolm wears, that weird little necklace that we keep talking about that I still have no idea.
The stone or the jewel or something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hey, what do you guys think? What propicas would you like to get from Arrow? Let us know. I'd be interested to hear what people have to say.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some other cool stuff that we haven't even thought about. Speaking of replicas, I'm not really sure how that switches over, but maybe you can get Stephen Amell's old costume because he doesn't need it anymore. He's got a new Arrow suit that is going to premiere in season 4. And there is a great video on YouTube, but just a sequence of him coming out to the crowd in his new uniform. And it is very reminiscent to me of the Green Arrow outfit in the current run of Green Arrow.
Yes, I thought the same thing. Of the new 52 Green Arrow.
Yeah, the new 52. It's got short sleeves, but he's got kind of like football pad, plastic shoulder protection that comes down over his shoulders, but his arms are bare, but his gauntlets have the big bands that kind of connect them, and they start just below his elbow and go down to his wrist, and I think then move into a glove of some kind. So it looks really neat, and it's much more, it's a brighter green. It seems like with the way that they're moving towards a brighter red Flash costume, that's a little more like the comic book, they're making Oliver's costume a little brighter green, getting away from that kind of dark, subdued green that they've had for the first 3 seasons.
Right. Which will definitely fit in with some of the plot points that we've heard, or the storyline, I guess, that we've heard is coming this season. So.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got a bunch of new characters that they've told us about already. Well, a couple, at least one of them, let's see. Yeah, at least one of them we knew about that was coming. We just didn't know who was going to be cast in that part. You want to tell us a little bit about some of the new folks we're going to be getting to know in season 4 here?
Well, the one I think that you're talking about is Damian Dark, right?
Yes.
Because we heard about him, I don't know, what, 2/3 of the way through last season, I guess, maybe closer to the
second
end.
Second to last episode, I think.
That's
it,
really? That's when Ra's al Ghul told him the story?
I'm pretty sure it was second to last episode. Might even been the last
I know they went after him right at the end, but I thought he had told the story before that. But I could be remembering wrong.
Yeah,
like I
it
said,
was,
you know, my
it was
brain
within
is
that
full.
Last couple weeks right there, so very
and
close to the end.
We didn't see him. We saw one of his lackeys.
We thought it was him, but then it turned out to be like his butler or something like that.
Right, right. His Jarvis, but different, yes. You know, different property. But anyway, Neil McDonough. Am I saying that right? Neil McDonough?
Neil McDonough, yep.
Oh, that's pretty good. Let's see. Now, do you know who Neil McDonough is? I'm not familiar with his body
of work.
You
are totally familiar with him.
Am I?
Okay, I know. So this is great. So I'm gonna blow your mind. Okay, so he was in Minority Report. He was Tom Cruise's best friend on the police force that worked in pre-crime with him, kind of blonde guy.
Okay, yeah.
But what you know him as is Dum Dum Dugan from The Winter Soldier and Agent Carter.
Or are
from
you kidding me?
Captain America. Yeah.
That's the same guy.
Yeah,
he's
makeup for Dum Dum Dugan, but yeah, that's him. So we've got Neil McDonough as one of the first first actors to cross over between the Marvel and DC properties here.
Yeah, see, now I saw his picture. You know, his I don't know what actors call those. You know, just
a headshot.
I guess. That's kind of what it looked like, or something he was on. And it does not look like Dum Dum Dugan. He doesn't have the mustache and the bowl. So of course he is. Look at that. Okay, all right. Yes, I'm familiar
cool.
with his body of work.
Yeah.
All right, so Damian Dark, and like you said, we kind of knew he was coming, and we will see more of him. And then we two other characters that we didn't know about, but are definitely DC comic book characters. The first one is Anarchy. Now, are you a fan of Anarchy?
I remember him from Batman when he got introduced. Not so much. He seemed very... To me, he seems similar to a character that DC Comics has called Manhunter.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
So, and you know, I don't know. It Detective Comics when he premiered, I guess it was sometime in like 1989. I guess.
Yes.
Just, it wasn't any storyline that was really fascinating to me or anything like that. So, and I haven't really followed him too much.
His character has an interesting history, but you know, I as we've seen with all the characters in Arrow, they can definitely take them in many different directions from what the comic book has done, and still maintain the same kind of idea. Much like the next one, Mr. Terrific.
Yeah.
Right?
Now him I'm looking forward to.
Now, Mr. Terrific is a character that's been around for a long, long time in different incarnations, but this one's going to be played by Echo Kellum. Did I say who Anarchy was being played by? Alexander Calvert.
Not.
Alexander Calvert is playing Anarchy, a young guy, which makes sense for Anarchy. And then Mr. Terrific is played by Echo Kellum.
Okay.
Now,
so Alexander Calvert was previously seen in, they say here, Bates Motel and The Returned.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not watch either of those shows. And then Echo Kellum, let's see, what's he been in here that they...
Ben and Kate, which I did not see. Sean Saves the World, which is I think it was an NBC series a couple years ago. And I didn't really recognize him from any other stuff he'd done. He seems like a relatively newer actor. His IMDb only goes up as far back as... Well, I guess about 2011.
Okay.
And it was just little roles up then. And then, let's see, some of his more recent stuff, Pig, Goat, Banana, Cricket. So you may recognize him from that. I have no idea. It says it's a TV series.
No, sir.
But anyway, yeah, interesting. Interesting choice for this character. I think they're putting a lot of confidence on him for somebody who is actually... Would you say Mr. Terrific is a beloved character?
Yes, there are many people that beloved him.
Well, good for Mr. Terrific. Excellent job.
Now, I'm sure that they will not do... Okay, so actually, for people that don't know who Mr. Terrific is, he's a he's an African-American character in DC Comics, and he's got a photographic memory. He's really skilled and with computers and stuff like that, and he wears a leather jacket that says "Fair Play" on it. And I would just love to see that. I think that would be great. I doubt that will happen, though. I hope that they, you know, in one of his first appearances, that they give us a shout out to the Fair Play motto for.
They've got to put that somewhere. That's so iconic for Mr. Terrific.
Right, right. But whether or not, you know, they do it, you know, they may not do it the first outing, right? You know, because it sounds like he may show up, you know, a couple episodes. He's a employee of Palmer Technologies, they say here, and he'll be working under Felicity. So... You know, there's, you know, two computer people that are obviously going to work together at some point. I'm hoping that he helps out the team in some fashion or something like that.
Well, Mr. Terrific is a very intelligent, talented character. So I think you're right. Working with Felicity, I think he'll know a lot about computers.
And then we got a, just today, there was another new character announced. The name of the character is Baron Blitzkrieg, and he's going to be played by Jimmy Akingbola. And I'm not really super familiar with this character. He's a masked, you know, kind of Nazi sort of style character that had shown up a while ago. I guess he is also a member of a group called the Shadow Spire. I just don't know too much about this character. I want to say that he was killed off in Crisis on Infinite Earths or something like that.
Yeah, I think you could be right, actually. But there was something else interesting that came out shortly after the announcement of Jimmy Akingbola, which is an awesome name, by the way. After he was announced that he was going to be playing Baron Blitzkrieg, Mark Guggenheim released a little statement because there was a lot of... interesting commentary about that casting because, as you would probably guess from the name, Baron Blitzkrieg was actually this Nazi, you know, this really, really mean Nazi as opposed to the really nice Nazis. I don't anyway, but right. And who had some abilities, you know, because of some things that happened to him. But Jimmy Akingbola is an African American or black actor. I don't really know where he's from, actually. And so a lot of people were wondering about how that would work. But Mark Guggenheim says he's not an evil super Nazi villain in this. And his name is actually not even Baron Blitzkrieg. His name is Baron Reiter or Reiter. And what they were really wanting from that character is his association with Shadow Spire.
Got it. So we've got Damian Dark, who's associated with the Hive, which is obviously going to start bringing Diggle's character more into the forefront. And then we've got this other character who has got a group called Shadow Spire. So we've got a couple different evil groups.
If I'm not getting all of my interesting facts mixed up, I think the Shadow Spire group and Baron, what did I say his name was? Baron
Reiter.
Reiter, right, there you go. That will be in flashbacks. So that'll be things that Oliver has to deal with in flashbacks. And they kind of bookend each other. It was interesting that you're comparing Damian Dark to him, because I think that was kind of the idea. Well, I'm just speculating there, but that's what it sounds like.
Okay. Well, hopefully the flashbacks will be an interesting section of the show.
These new characters are more exciting to me than the announcement of the new characters that we got early last season, about the same time when we were talking. So
more exciting than Katana.
I was
excited about Katana, but I got to say, in final implementation, she was okay.
Yeah, I agree. And but all of the characters that were kind of announced, to me, they seemed very connected or similar, or you know, that kind of samurai League of Assassins, all just kind of seemed in that similar vein. Whereas these, to me, I see a lot of different directions they could go, and to me that gives you the opportunity for a lot of different stories. So okay. I don't know, but, you know, hey, I could be wrong, but I think this is going to be an exciting season.
Oh, it would almost have to be. I agree with that. So, not to be too down on season three, but I think they've got a lot riding on this season that they really need to kind of get back to their roots a little more. And I think that they're feeling some of the
pressure.
They spent a lot of there's a little bit of pressure, but I think they. Arrow last season, not to get into this too early here because I want to talk about this a little more, but they were acting too much as a springboard, I think, last season for other DC properties on the CW. And I would like Arrow to focus on, first and foremost, being a show about Arrow. And that's what they need to be working on. So, but we can talk about that a little bit more. I mentioned Diggle's going to be going up against Hive. We're not, 100% sold on that, but that's seems pretty much the way that it's going to be going with Damian Dark coming on. So Diggle's going to get a mask. And they were talking about identity concealment last season, joking about it. And if you look at some of the there's some images floating around on the web of a potential design for Diggle's mask. If anybody is familiar with the character of the Guardian showed up a lot in Adventures of Superman circa, I think it's like the late 80s, early 90s.
Or especially early 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
He did a lot of work with the underworld in Metropolis. What's that called?
Magia? No, not the Magia. The underworld in Metropolis?
Where all the clone mutants were.
It's part of Project Cadmus, isn't it?
Yeah. He did a lot of work with Project Cadmus.
Yeah. So the helmet's similar to that, and the Guardian is sort of a Captain America influenced character. He wears blue and yellow and carries a big yellow shield that looks like a medallion or a medal or something like that. But so that's what Diggle's mask looks like. So I'm interested to see how that is going to play out. I'm sure they're not going to work them right towards that. And they also, Mark Guggenheim did confirm that regardless of any references that may have appeared in Arrow or The Flash and everybody's desire for Diggle's costume to be a specific green ring that he puts on his finger, John Stewart, aka Green Lantern 2, will not be appearing in any of these TV shows. They've kind of got him earmarked for a new Green Lantern Corps movie.
I am going to throw this out right now. I really think it is such a huge stretch to say that Diggle would be Green Lantern. I think people are really grasping at straws in that particular.
They want his middle name to be Stewart. John Stewart Diggle.
Okay, but it doesn't fit anything. I like Diggle as Diggle. I don't want to make him Green Lantern. I like Green Lantern, too. I don't have a problem with that, but this is not him. I want him to go a different direction. I think they are stuck. I think they need to take the blinders off.
People just know that Guggenheim and I think it was Kreisberg, were involved in the Green Lantern movie. You've got John Diggle, right? And his middle name could be Stewart, I guess. People are thinking he's a very strong black character, very likable, very much, like John Stewart. John Stewart is, as Green Lantern, is a huge fan favorite. So, people are just trying to make connections and have fun with this and speculate on stuff, and that may have just gone over the line a little. So, fan favorites. I think this kind of fills in that. You and I have talked about this for seasons now, for three seasons, about how great the stunts are on Arrow, right?
Right.
And the stunt director on that is James Bamford, a.k.a. Bam Bam. And he is actually getting a chance to direct an episode this season. Episode number 7, Guggenheim's revealed. Which I can only imagine is I don't know if you've seen a movie called John Wick with Keanu Reeves.
No, but I heard it was really good.
I do not want you to think that having Keanu Reeves in it is any kind of detriment, because this is the most amazing kick-ass revenge movie ever. It's so simple, like this guy wants to go get revenge on some Russian gangsters. Like that is the plot. And all it is just action, 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 and stunts. But what's amazing is it's directed. The reason I bring it up is because it's directed by Keanu Reeves' stunt coordinator from the Matrix films. So if that's the kind of film that a stunt coordinator puts together, I can only imagine that episode 7 of season 4 here on Arrow with Jamie Bamford directing it, it's going to be amazing, because it's going to be designed to show off a series of stunt and action sequences, my opinion on this. And I'm looking so forward to that. I think that's going to be great.
That should be a fun one. Maybe it will lead up to something bigger in the following episode, huh?
Like a crossover with The Flash?
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea. And that is exactly what they're going to do. They're going to do another Episode 8 crossover between Arrow and Flash. They haven't really revealed much other than, they're going to do it like they did last season, not just have a couple characters, like have Cisco show up on Arrow or have Felicity show up on The Flash, but they're going to bring, the casts from The Flash over to Starling City and the cast of Arrow over to Central City or something along those lines. And then also, at least the stars of Arrow and Flash will be teaming up in a slightly different way on something called the CW Seed, which I'm still not completely sure of what this is, whether it is a website or whether it's another channel somewhere. Do you know?
I think it's a website. I think it's part of the CW website and network, and it's kind of a branch of that online. So I think they're just trying to get some stuff, some program. The CW is not like your typical big four networks. They don't have
they look much younger and cuter.
Well, that's definitely true. But they don't have as much programming on as the other networks do.
Yeah.
And I think they've got. I'm gonna put it out there too. Because of Arrow, I think they have enough success and a budget now that they have more content than they have time for. So I think they got some really great ideas and some good writers, and they're trying to get some more stuff out there to branch out. And I think it's actually a really good idea. So if they can promote this enough, I think it'll be great.
Well, what we're going to see on premiering on August 25th on the CW Seed, we're going to see Vixen, which is another DC superhero. She is a member of the Justice League, has an animal totem that allows her to get powers from different animals, you know, like the speed of a jaguar or the endurance of a buffalo or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
There's
I should have looked these up beforehand, what she does. But it'll be an animated series. If I recall, it was like 6 episodes, and they're all going to be about 10 minutes each or so. So it'll tell like an hour-long story in the end, basically, so they can probably put it on a DVD. But it does take place in the CWDC universe. So Arrow and The Flash will be on the show, and I don't know if it's been confirmed, but I'm pretty sure that Grant Gustin and Stephen Amell will be lending their voices to the characters then.
I have heard that as well. So
okay.
That sounds interesting. So, and if you want access to the CW Seed, I think you can get it online, but they also have an app and they have other shows besides just Vixen.
Okay.
If you're interested in every episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway, and a few other original shows, I think.
Okay, cool. So in about a month, that'll be premiering. One other crossover that is becoming more and more a possibility every week, based on what we're seeing online, is a crossover with NBC's Constantine. Now, Constantine, I think we discussed it a little bit towards the end of the season. It was a DC property on NBC that unfortunately was canceled after 13 episodes. It only got half a season, basically. But it was working on the whole premise of magic and the magical characters in the DC universe and you know, things like that. And I guess when it was starting to determine whether it was going to be canceled or not, Stephen Amell and Mark Guggenheim, who were fans of it, were putting the word out there that they would, you know, love to cameo, you know, have Oliver Queen cameo on the show to kind of tie the universes together. And fortunately, that never happened. But now that the show has actually been canceled, they're looking to see if they can get Constantine to come on to Arrow at some point in season 4. With the advent of the Lazarus Pit in season 3, Stephen Amell has said that, you know, they are moving more into the realm of magic, and it would be a perfect fit to get Constantine on the show as, you know, a guest one episode to, you know, bridge that even a little bit more, which I think would be great. Matt Ryan did a really good job as the character of Constantine. The way he portrayed the character is kind of how when I read the comic book of Constantine, read the character, that's how I kind of hear him in my head. And I thought Matt Ryan kind of captured that. Like, he took the idea that I had and, you know, brought it to life. So that was pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to actually seeing that come about.
That would be fun. Well, I kind of like these crossovers. I just need to space them out enough so it doesn't feel like it's a, like you said earlier, just a platform to do other stories. But I like the Arrow stories.
Yeah. And I guess we've got some other information, just kind of miscellaneous stuff that came from San Diego Comic-Con and the Arrow panel there. So, Josh, you want to break some of this stuff down here?
Right. So a lot of the stuff that we've talked about was discussed, and some of it was actually revealed at San Diego Comic-Con. But some of the other little things that we didn't mention, number one, they talked about where Oliver and Felicity have been these, 4 or 5 months, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we as this series has shown, most of the time they're going through the episodes in real time. And so at the beginning of each season, it's been a summer, you know. So Oliver and Felicity they didn't just go on a vacation. They actually left Starling City and settled down somewhere. They didn't give too much more about that and what they were doing, you know, but they were finding their zen, you know, especially Oliver. He was becoming a different person. I think we'll see that. So, but back at Starling City, we have found out that, you know,
Casey Jones.
Yeah, you know, maybe that is what he's doing. He's that's where he got the shoulder pads, right, for his new costume, right?
Yes. Guys, I'm going to borrow these.
Paint them green. But back in Starling City, the team is actually, they haven't quit. They're still running about and saving the day and stopping bad guys. And apparently they've gotten really good at it now. All it took was, you know, Oliver just coming back and being a real bad guy. He was just trying to push them, I think. That's it right there, right? Just trying to show their potential.
And it sounds like Thea's really stepped up as well, and she's going to have been doing more work as Speedy / Red Arrow, whatever. What was the other name she used for herself? They called her Speedy, but maybe they did say Red Arrow. I can't remember.
Oh, no, I can't remember. I think you're right. I think it was Red Arrow. But yeah, and in addition to Thea, Laurel is continuing to work and get better. So she's starting to come into her own there. So, so the team's been doing pretty good without Oliver. Now I would imagine that they're doing fine now, and something big will happen that they'll require the big guns and the big bow in this case, I guess. But, so, you know, that's probably going to all be in the first episode. That's probably not a huge spoiler or shocker to anybody, but in addition to that, you know, they did talk at San Diego Comic-Con about the characters that we discussed above, and also you mentioned that there's going to be more magic in this season.
Anything's possible in the world of magic.
That is right, Mr. Henning. That is absolutely right. The Damian Dark will, it sounds like, will kind of be the I don't know, the hub, you think, of this?
We're talking about magic, I'm gonna have to use the word conduit.
Excuse me. Yeah, see, I'm not up on my magic comics. You're going to have to lead me through these. I'm not as familiar with those as much. So, in a complete opposite turnabout from what they said in season one, we have now gone to superpowers and magic. So that's what we have in Arrow, which is fine. It's kind of a natural progression, I guess, as natural as you can get.
Right. And season one, they didn't want to do that. They stayed where they are. And now they're like, okay, you know what? We see value in moving the characters this way. And it feels natural and organic. It's, you know, we're having a good time doing that. It's like, it's not like they're just, you know, oh, okay, we just want to write a story that does this, and then they forget about it or something like that. You know, it's all a progression.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I think it's actually been a good progression too. People would disagree, and you're welcome to send your thoughts in. But that's kind of how I feel. So, well, here's something that is going to require some sort of magic or mysticism, or at least suspension of disbelief. Sarah Lance will return to Arrow, at least for a little bit. They confirmed at San Diego Comic-Con that she's going to return in some fashion to kind of help branch off for her spinoff series, Legends of Tomorrow.
That is weird. I guess I missed that she was actually going to be showing up on Arrow.
Well, that's what it said. It's going to be Katie Cassidy said that Laurel Lance is going to play a major role in launching the Arrow half of the spinoff. And so, you know, you can take that for what it is. But it seemed like that the resurrection of Sarah is going to be taking place on Arrow. And that was kind of some stuff that Mark Guggenheim implied. So
that would make sense. I mean, she is a character, you know, that originated on the show. So I think they get first dibs, you know, in terms of, you know, changing her story, right? Because she just died. And if you have her show up alive on some other series and let them explain it, that's not as cool, yeah. I guess. I don't
well,
know.
And I don't know if this is exactly how they're going to do it, but we have seen some hints of it, that the Lazarus Pit is going to be the conduit. I guess I don't know. I don't know if I'm using that properly. But of her return. Or the vehicle.
It's the vehicle.
See right. My magic. I'm going to have to practice my magic vocabulary. Yeah. You know, we saw the Lazarus Pit on Arrow. So maybe, you know, again, that might be why it's going to be on Arrow. So, you know, next they discussed how it is going to be Green Arrow. As a matter of fact, Stephen Amell himself came out in the suit, like you said, and announced the Green Arrow part of it. You had mentioned something about Felicity and working with Mr. Terrific and stuff. Well, Felicity's actually going to have a pretty major storyline herself, it seems, this season, that will kind of revolve around the fact that, remember, she is the CEO, owner yeah. of what used to be Queen Consolidated. She runs the joint. So she's going to have some important stories that revolve around that. Should I share this little spoiler? They said it.
It is a little spoiler.
It is a little spoiler. Well, you know, hey, if you don't want to know this little tiny spoiler, this very little tiny spoiler,
you could just
listen for 30 seconds. What?
Yeah, or you could just say that we're going to talk about Ant-Man for just a second.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. She is vital to discovering, or she's the one, I guess, that is going to be discovering that Ray did not blow himself up, but actually shrunk himself.
Honey, I shrunk my boss.
Nice. So anyway, you can, I don't know. I'm kind of excited about that. I like Felicity as a character. You guys know how I've kind of felt about her, and there's been a few things that maybe I would have done differently, but I still dig that character a lot. But
she, as long as she comes back to being a little more upbeat and fun, because she was wringing her hands a lot this last season.
She had to get bossy.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. That should be a fun storyline, or, you know, plot area. Yeah.
Well, you know, you'd think she'd loosen up a little bit. She's got her man, you know, and everything seems to be going okay, except for the fact her, you know, friend supposedly blew himself up and stuff. But she seems to be doing better. Diggle, however, he's still angry with Oliver. He's not happy.
Good reason.
yeah, of course, right? And so that's going to come into play still in this season.
I'm glad they're carrying that over. I think that, you know, if that were just to be better after 5 months or whatever, you know, I would probably be upset for, you know, an episode or two and then get over it, because he's such a cool character. But I think there's a good opportunity to explore a lot of interesting dynamics between Oliver and Diggle, now that they need to work together, but they don't get along.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's realistic. You know, that is how it would be. I think, you know, in my mind, one way they could go that I think would be very, good way to develop the characters is that something's got to happen where they just have to bond again. You know, something dramatic or traumatic has to happen where those two just need to get back together and bond and express their feelings, and Oliver needs to kind of, I don't know. What are you thinking? Now there's something in your head that you're picturing.
No, I'm just, I'm just seeing him, like, you know, bonding by, like, you know, kicking the crap out of each other, they're just going to town, like in Rocky or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that,
yeah. A little Rocky 3 action there, right? A Rocky and Apollo at the end, that kind of
thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But for real, not like just messing around.
So. That'd work. That'd work, you know? I mean, I think tears have to be shed, hugs have to be made, and they can do that in the ring.
Yeah.
So that, and of course they talked about Diggle getting a mask, and he joked again that he was going to be Black Driver, but that's
great.
It was a good panel. You can find that online. You know, I recommend it. It's actually not a very long panel, because they had some other stuff after. It was a CW panel, you know, so it's not that typical hour-long Arrow panel, but It was very entertaining to watch and fun, and made me like the actors that are playing these characters even more.
Excellent. Well, we would like to spend just a little bit of time here talking about some of season three and kind of what we liked, what we didn't like. We're going to do, well, I was going to say we're going to do about half the season, but that's not really the case. We're going to do, it's really like a third of the season up to the mid-season break. But before we get to that, we've got a little bit of feedback that we've gotten here since the end of the season and into the summer. Josh, why don't you take the first one here, and then I'll do the second one.
All right. Well, we got a great email from Cheryl. And Cheryl, now this was sent right at the end of the season, so it's a little bit older, but it addresses our last show. So I wanted to share some of her thoughts. She's got some great stuff on here, and I'll kind of highlight some things that I want to talk about. But she says, I really love your podcast, Jay and Josh. And that was it. That's all I wanted to share. I just wanted to.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. No. She wrote a lot of really great stuff. But she says, I actually agree that the season three finale wasn't the best. Season three was the weaker season two. With Oliver and Felicity, I'm actually worried about them getting together too, because I think the writers have trouble writing romance. I mean, we were supposed to root for Oliver and Laurel, but they made that relationship so toxic that I was rooting for Tommy and Laurel. Plus, I don't think Kate and Steven have on-screen chemistry, but chemistry is subjective. I kind of agree what she's saying there, and I do wonder, though, if it was deliberate. Like, if at some point they said, you know what, let's get away from Oliver and Laurel because we want to start pushing him a little bit more toward Felicity. I have liked the way they've written Oliver and Felicity's relationship. As rocky as it's been, I like the way those characters interact.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, they might have done that just because they knew that they wanted to take Laurel on the long road and then take her all the way down, you know,
right,
to rock bottom, to work her back up, and then maybe work on that relationship. Maybe that relationship will come again, but I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. And there's nothing written that says it has to. Just because it is in the comics doesn't mean this show has to go that way. But
right.
Let's see. She goes on to say Felicity's one of her favorite characters on the show. She just hopes she doesn't get stuck in this just the girlfriend role. And it sounds like, and you know, we didn't know this when she wrote this, but it sounds like it's not going to go that way. It sounds like there's going to be some other stuff. So,
yep.
A couple other points here. She says, the way they wrote Oliver and Felicity's dynamic near the end of season two was really good because it was more understated. Agreed. I totally agree. The prediction that one of you made about the potential of killing off Felicity could actually happen near the very end of the series, because Felicity is intrinsically tied into Oliver's humanity, that Oliver may need to learn how to keep that humanity without her. At times, it seems like Oliver's very dependent on Felicity in that sense. Hmm. I agree with her on that, but I don't necessarily think they're going to wait until the end of the series.
At least
I'm scared that they won't. But I don't know.
That's
I'm not sure what
they
have a plan.
That would be a really bold move.
It would be, but they have made some pretty bold moves on this series, so.
Yeah.
And then just one last thing here. It says, I hope in season four that Laurel is included more into the team, because it only seems that she gets to be a part of the team when Oliver isn't there. I hope for more Diggle stuff too in season four, because I love that character. And it sounds like both of those characters are going to have a lot to do, and they've been busy and getting better as heroes in the off season here. So my question to you guys is, do you think all of these spinoffs from Arrow is actually affecting the quality of Arrow? It doesn't seem like they're putting much attention to Arrow now, which is a shame, because it allowed for all these spinoffs to come into fruition. And, you know, you kind of touched on that earlier. I don't think it's affecting the quality, but I think it slowed down the story at times this season.
It affects the pacing of the season, because they are needing to, they're moving along on their storyline, and then they have to say, okay, hang on a second. We now need to go tell this story because we have to do a spinoff, you know, or bring on these characters from this other show. And yeah, it definitely does affect it and not for the best, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
Well, we also got an email again. I think this one came in just after our last show from Darren and Ruth. They said, we just finished listening to Green Justice 322, which I guess was our second to last episode. And they said, well, we may not always agree with all your viewpoints, we do enjoy your commentary analysis, and especially the references section of the podcast. looking back at the last two episodes of season three of Arrow, I can say at least that, I can at least say that the show managed to pull off an enjoyable finale from an otherwise disappointing season. Similar to what the two of you have said, I do still enjoy Arrow. It's one of my favorite shows and one of the few shows I watch as soon as possible each week. However, that does not mean I like everything about this about it, and this season proved that. Darren goes on to say he personally thought that having Ra's al Ghul as the main villain would make for an exciting season, but that didn't, you know, seem to be the case. The mid-season finale is a perfect example of spectacle for spectacle's sake, that it didn't really add anything to the series. But they are thankful that they had an interesting secondary storyline with Laurel becoming Black Canary, Thea becoming Speedy, and Ray Palmer as the Atom, who was easily the highlight of the season, in his opinion, and because they're both fans of Brandon Routh, they go on to say.
So is my wife.
Yeah, I think all of our spouses are probably. Darren goes on to say, much like Cheryl did in her email, he says, let's hope season four gives us some good Oliver/Arrow stories. He is the main character and the main reason we watch the show, so hopefully he will get to be involved in an interesting storyline next year. So, you know, basically the same things that we seem to be wishing for. It sounds like, you know, this is something that's, you know, kind of a common theme through people that are listening to the show, and you know, some other people that I've talked to in real life here about the season. So
right, and hey, I also it is totally okay, you guys out there. You do not have to agree with anything I say. It is totally all right. Matter of fact, let me know when you disagree with me. I don't have a problem with that. A lot of times, you might change my mind, or you know, it's just seeing it from a different point of view. So that's fantastic. That's just why you and I have these discussions. It's just for fun, and that's what the show's all about.
Josh, I totally disagree with you. I think that people should agree with you.
Right. Well, you know, that's okay. We'll have words after we stop recording, but you know,
okay.
That's your opinion. That's
Are those
opinion,
words man. Going to be conduit or vehicle?
I think they're maybe a vehicle through the conduit, I think is how I'm going to.
Okay. All right, so well, let's take a few minutes here. I know we're getting a little long here on our timing, but this is a summer special. We kind of take it a little easy here. So let's just think back about the episodes here. Why don't we switch off? I'll read about the first episode here, and we can talk about it for just a couple minutes. So the first episode of the season was called The Calm. And, you know, Josh, I'm going to keep these little notes that you put in here in because these are great. So this is the one where everything was great for 10 minutes.
Yep.
So everything is awesome until Ray Palmer takes over Queen Consolidated. Laurel is getting pepped up, and Diggle has a baby. But a new Count Vertigo is in town, and he's got a new song for Oliver. So,
you know, up until the last 30 seconds of this episode, it felt like it was going to be just like the previous season, you know, just a different little thing you had to deal with each week with, you know, maybe something bigger coming. But then they threw us for a loop.
Yeah, this was a good season premiere. I thought it got I thought it kicked off the season after the break, because you know we came back. Now, granted, the as you had said earlier, you know, the actually, if it takes 5 months for us in the real world between shows, it's been 5 months on the show, and there were some lingering questions for me from season two, especially like, hey, is Quentin Lance actually going to survive this little heart attack or whatever it was that he was having? And Sarah's leaving. It's like, oh, that's too bad, because that's a really cool character. And then, you know, we're in an entirely different place at the beginning of the season. So that was, to me, was a little jarring, but it was good to see, you know, everybody kind of working together and firing on all cylinders and stuff like that, as you say here, for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was, I agree with you, it was a good premiere. So,
okay, so what was the next one then?
Well, then the next one, episode two, Sarah, and that was the one where Sarah dies. Really? Kind of, you know. But, you know, can Oliver live a life outside of his mask? Can Diggle be a successful father? Can Roy get Thea back? Can Laurel work up the nerve to tell her dad that he really actually truly has lost Sarah this time? This was kind of one of those emotional ones, like everybody was dealing with Sarah's death and nobody was dealing with it well.
Yeah. Well, and we had the opening of this great mystery, which, you know, seems like they're setting up for a multi-arc sort of thing. It's like, who really killed Sarah? I found that really intriguing at the beginning of the season. It, you know, was she really dead? We knew that Ra's al Ghul was coming in the season, but we weren't sure when or how. I don't think we'd gotten an introduction of him by this point. I'm trying to remember when he actually showed up, because I know they had like one scene where he's like coming out of his bath, you know, but we hadn't actually seen him. Even the first time that we see him, he hasn't really even intruded into Starling City. But we knew the League of Assassins was definitely involved in some way, or at least it seemed so. It was a sad episode, but it was a hopeful episode for me because it seemed like there were lots of story possibilities that could come from it.
Yeah.
And they started to continue that. So the next episode was Cordo Maltese. This is the one where Laurel gets beat up for the first time. Oliver and pals go to Cordo Maltese to convince his sister to come back. You know, Oliver nearly gets stabbed through the door or shot with an arrow through the door by Malcolm. Felicity gets a job. Laurel mopes about Sarah and starts beating people up. Well, gets beat up mostly. And then Nyssa returns looking for Sarah and giving the season its plotline thread, which, you know, it kind of set us off in the direction that we needed to go, or so it seemed. Oliver started questioning a little bit more about his role in all of this because, of course, he took a lot of responsibility for this. And I think this is probably where we started discussing Oliver's identity issues that he was going to be having throughout the season.
Yeah, and that was, again, one of the main kind of ideas and threads with him dealing with who he was, really, you know, his dual identities. So, but the next episode, they didn't focus on him so much. Episode 4, The Magician. That was the 50th episode of the series.
Woo-hoo!
That was pretty good. That was the one where we wonder if Malcolm is really such a bad guy. Turns out he is. But Malcolm's backstory is kind of told in flashbacks, right? And he returns to Starling City with Thea in the present day. But Oliver will not, do you hear me, not kill anyone. And so he kind of...
Just a little bit?
You know...
He
stands his ground on his new, you know, superhero morals there.
Yeah.
At least, you know, till the end of the season, I guess.
And we still really don't get any movement, any further movement on Sarah's storyline at that point. And
no, haven't learned anything new.
Right. So maybe in the fifth episode, we'll get a little bit more on, you know, the investigation that the Team Arrow is doing on Sarah's death with the secret origin of Felicity Smoke. This is the one where Felicity wears goth makeup. So Felicity's backstory is told introducing her MILF, and she has to stop her former boyfriend and hacktivist before he unleashes a computer virus that she created. And Roy needs...
He needs a nap. That's what he needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, now when I was typing those, I didn't know. I didn't know we were going to read them straight out. So, Felicity's mom there. But anyway.
Oh, mom. I'm sorry. It does say mom. Why did I say
no? Yeah.
That is so inappropriate.
That's just a typo. But anyway, you know, it was interesting to see Felicity. I think, you know, the main villain of this episode, I guess, with the with the boyfriend hacktivist, you know, I mean, it was a fun little episode, but I was more interested actually in kind of how Felicity got to where she is now. I thought that was actually more interesting than the main threat.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I wouldn't threat. I'm going to put threat in air quotes right there. Cause I mean, it was like, maybe.
Yeah. Everything worked out. So, and then, of course, you know, we're still wondering what happened to Sarah there. But Laurel's struggling, so of course she needs some help here. And that happened in episode 6, Guilty. And that was the one with Wildcat.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one. The boxing glove arrow.
Right, exactly. Yes, the iconic. There, that's the prop. That's the prop I want right there.
Oh, yeah. Going back to the beginning of the show.
I would take a boxing glove arrow. But anyway, Roy really needs to take some nighttime speedy jumping, wheezing, falling, killing, punch your head, Mirakuru, so you can rest medicine. He's having these visions of Sarah's death, and he just can't seem to shake them. Laurel trains with Ted Grant, excuse me, and Arsenal has to fight off Knight's sidekick. Grant's sidekick. Yeah, the whole Ted Knight, Ted Grant thing always throws me for a loop. But anyway, yeah, we introduced Wildcat.
Wait, one of them's Starman, one of them's Wildcat. That's how you figure it out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, I see. You also mean Mary Tyler Moore. I got
it. Yes. this was actually really kind of a fun episode. We got to see a lot of Arsenal, and we got to see Laurel developing into a character, which I think I may have mentioned either to you or on the show, that I thought Laurel grew as a character maybe more than anybody in this season. And I really did like where she ended up at the end of this season, which was good.
I know some people I talked to felt that there was a little bit of contrivance about that, but I thought it was an appropriate outgrowth of what they were doing with her character. So
in that it just happened too fast because
it did kind of turn around a little fast at the beginning. I mean, it's the sixth episode here, and she, you know, she's already gone through. Well, she's already, you know, dressed up in the costume, or at least gone out and tried beating people up. I mean, she's all sorts of messed up.
She is, but she wasn't doing well, and she was still learning. See, to me, I mean, it's a TV series. How long can you really drag out something like that? Some of the things I think they drug out too long, and this one I thought was a pretty good pace. But again, you know, that's just my opinion. Right. But I like where they took her.
So, this is so this was a good episode too, because Roy, you know, you're like, oh, I see what's going on. Is Roy's having some flashbacks, and at the time I hadn't connected it to the fact that Roy was actually internalizing what he had done under the influence of Mirakuru back in season 2 with the death of Sarah. I thought they were, you know, trying to I knew it was kind of a red herring in some fashion, or a red arrow in some fashion, but I didn't know exactly how they were going to end up doing that. And so this was actually a good episode of Arrow.
But you know, knowing what we know now, how exactly was he having visions of killing Sarah when it really wasn't him that was killing Sarah?
Well, it was, you know,
Was it just him, his subconscious?
Yeah, I see it as his subconscious was just kind of doing. I mean, I have these bizarre dreams of, like, you know, sleeping with beautiful women, but, you know. Okay, no, wait, I'm just going to stop right there. Because basically, anything else I say after this, I can just see it coming back to me. So, anyway.
That's not that bizarre, really. But
how about I have visions of kicking cats, but I don't really go around kicking cats. So
there you go.
How about that?
Okay.
That doesn't sound much. Anyway.
Maybe we should move on.
but again, we've set up this storyline, and we've now taken like kind of a 3-episode detour from what we thought we were doing with Andrew. Okay, Sarah's been killed. What's going on with that? And now we come to Draw Back Your Bow. This is the one we can't get out of our heads every time we have to talk about the title, which is true. We kept singing that that song.
I will again.
Yep, I'm sorry. Carrie Cutter really, 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 really wants Oliver, and Oliver's jealous of Felicity's new beau, billionaire philanthropist, salmon ladder climbing abs poster boy, Ray Palmer. So, great. We've got some new characters that got introduced. One that's going to show up later in the season in the Suicide Squad, and one that is going to, you know, or has bought Oliver's company and will continue to be exploited, quote unquote, as a new superhero character, where, you know, they probably put more into Adam, I'm thinking now in retrospect, in this season than they might have intended to at this point of the season. I don't know that they were going to use, I don't know if they knew how much they were going to use Adam at that
point. Ah, I see what you're saying. That's interesting because, you know, I mean, they write these things well ahead of time, but they also do get a little bit of input and time to make changes. And I would never guess that at this point in the season that they knew that Adam was going to be in a brand new spinoff. Do you think?
No, I don't. I don't think that. And I think they knew that they were going to get him into costume later in the season, just due to the fact that, you know, that's like a prop that they would have to build and everything like that. But I think they saw some of the chemistry with Brandon Routh and the way that, you know, in kind of the same way that when they brought Felicity onto the show, the writers and producers were like, oh, this character is great and we should do more with her. I think the same kind of thing is like Brandon Routh, such a great guy. His Ray Palmer is such a fun character to work with. I think they started working him in more at that point. I don't have any proof for that, but
there's pretty strong evidence based on what we saw in the season. I mean, I would definitely agree with you, and I agree with the writers too. I love Brandon Routh. I think he's great, and he's got some killer abs, man.
So we've introduced like four new characters now already into the season, plus we brought back Nyssa, and we haven't really moved forward in anything else that's going on. So
no, we got rid of Sarah.
Yeah.
So, but that's minus one, but still don't know enough about it. So we moved on to another character in episode 8, The Brave and the Bold. And of course that's the one with Captain Boomerang.
Yes.
Digger Harkness wants to kill Lila for him being a part of the Suicide Squad, but you know, those dang boomerangs are just so fast. If only Oliver had an ally with super speed that could catch some of those things. Oh wait, he does. Barry Allen and all the non-mysterious members of Flash's team were visiting Central City or from Central City. And, they were given, you know, Oliver Archer's a little assistance there, but, turns out they don't see masked eye to masked eye on methods of capturing bad guys. So they had a good development of their friendship in this, and they find that they disagree on certain methods, but it was good chemistry between the two of them.
And this was
Flash and Arrow.
Yeah, and this was the second part of the two part crossover between Flash and Arrow. Flash aired the night before with Flash versus Arrow, and which is, you know, going to be the 8th episode spectacular. Now it seems like every 8th episode of the seasons are going to be crossovers for, I would assume, as long as they run, which is cool. Really fun episode. I like the stuff that was going on in this. And I don't, did we find out that Thea was the killer in this episode, or did they wait until the next episode to do that?
No, I think it was this one.
Okay.
I think you know what? That wasn't in my little notes that I typed up real quick, so I'm not, but I think it was this one. It was right around this part of the season story, so.
Yeah. So, you know, so everything starts to come to a head, and of course we are working into the mid-season break with episode 9, The Climb. This is the one that we talked about during Christmas break. After discovering that Thea killed Sarah, Oliver has to turn himself into Ra's for killing Sarah, or people in Starling City are going to start dying, more so than usual. And then Oliver gets his boo-boo. And it was like, wow, okay, so that's a pretty amazing mid-season break. How do we come back from that? That And I still what we were want all to wondering. Know the answer to that. I still want to. I'm still wondering that.
Well, some people weren't satisfied with the way we came back from that, but I was. We'll talk about that next time. But it maybe more so than any other mid-season finale of any TV show I can think of, it felt like the end of a season. And it was a it was a powerful, dramatic ending that we didn't know how they were going to fix.
So for 9 episodes out of the 23 that they did, so, you know, this was, okay, so let's see, halfway would have been like 11 or 12 episodes. So they were pretty close to really being here about halfway. It seems, though, the mid-season, like this first 9 episodes seems much quicker, and the last, you know, whatever, 14 episodes just seems like it's so much longer, or that more stuff was covered, or that they weren't giving as much time to stuff. And we can talk a little bit more about that in our next summer special. But I really enjoyed the first half of the season because I thought, at least in the way that I thought that they were going, I think these episodes work together well. We had this thread that ran through all of them that was not as strong in some episodes as it was in others. Like we mentioned, you know, they were just, they had other stuff going on. They were introducing a lot of cool characters, and it's like, all right, cool. Are you introducing these because you want to do something else with these characters later in the season? For the most part, no. And you know, you put your character of Oliver, your lead character, in this really incredible position at the end of the mid-season break. And like you said, it did feel like a season finale. And that, I think, in retrospect, is a problem because it raised all these questions, and I feel like the rest of the season made a 90-degree turn and went in a direction that the front half of the season here was not indicative of.
Right. Well, you know, as you're kind of talking and explaining that to me, it feels like they had tons of really great storylines, and sometimes they were just too mixed up within each other, you know, and not connected to each other, that it kind of just felt disjointed every once in a while. I liked all of the story ideas and the storylines, you know. But like you said, you know, it made the whole killing of Sarah storyline choppy, at least at the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. And it kind of made it go off in weird directions. But yeah, so, like, you know, I mean, we've talked very much so all during the season about how this wasn't the strongest one, strongest season. But as I look back on all these episodes, a lot of really fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, these were really fun episodes, and there was good stuff here. I mean, the Draw Back Your Bow, the Wildcat episode, I mean, I love that stuff. And, it just felt that, again, looking back, some of these episodes just were isolated unto themselves, with like the plot lines and stuff. But
yeah,
We'll be back in 3 or 4 weeks here to give you the next bout of news that is happening in Starling City, and we'll go over the rest of season 3 here, and you know, try to wrap up some other thoughts and ideas that we have about what worked, what didn't work, and what we're hoping to move on into in season 4 here. So. For now, that is all that we've got for this month's episode of Green Justice.
Well, and we hope you enjoyed this summer special episode. And remember, all of our other episodes you can listen to. Just go back and, you know, watch the reruns this summer of Arrow, or get them on iTunes, or and then just go back and listen to our shows. But if you like this episode, leave feedback for us on iTunes, and you can contact us, send us an email, greenjustice@randomchatter.com. Also, you can find us on Twitter @greenjusticepod, or you can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
You can also check out the other podcasts that Josh and I host here on randomchatter.com, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, our summer special, which just came out a few weeks ago. For that one, features us breaking down the classic David Hasselhoff film, Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you can also listen to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. We've done a summer special on that. We got another one coming up in a week with some really interesting stuff. So if you're a fan of the Flash show, you should definitely check that out. All these shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy the podcast, please be sure to keep telling your friends about us. We'd like to get some more likes on our Twitter feed, on our Facebook page. Come in and have some discussions with us about what you liked, what you didn't like on season 3. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed the city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.